another week of Cycle Talk SA. I'm Brad Brown. It's good to be with you. Thank you for joining me for this weekly podcast on cycling here in South Africa. This past weekend saw the Momentum 94.7 Cycle Challenge take to the streets of Joburg, and what a cool day out it was. And by cool, I mean nice. Not cool as in heat-wise, because it was blooming hot if you did ride. So I hope you had a good ride and a fantastic race as well. It was won, the men's race, by Willie Smit, and the ladies by Ashley Moorman-Passio. So, yeah, fantastic, fantastic ride from the two of them. And this week on the show, I chat, or I don't, but Stuart Pickering from Cycling Direct chats to Ashley Moorman-Passio. And it was actually just before she won the race. It was last week he caught up with her. So we don't chat about the Momentum 94.7 Cycle Challenge win, but she chats about some really cool things, including world champs as well as a European season as well. So that's coming up. And then I also touch base with Gavin Daisel from 94.7 Highveld Zero, part of the Breakfast Express team. I chatted to him a couple of months ago when he decided he was first going to ride the Momentum 94.7 Cycle Challenge. And I wanted to see how Gav went. So touch base with him this week just to find out how it went and what his experience was like. And yeah, you'll be very chuffed. He's lost a hell of a lot of weight too. So very, very cool for Gav. Really, really chuffed for him. And as always, if you want to be in touch, please do. You can tweet us at Cycle Talk SA. You can also like us on Facebook. Just look us up or pop me an email, podcast@cycletalksa. And as always as well, if you wouldn't mind, if you listen to this podcast through the iTunes platform, just take a couple of seconds. I'd really appreciate it. Just to leave us a star rating and a review. And what that does is it just helps us spread the word of this podcast. The more people who review it, obviously the more people then find it in iTunes. So please just take a couple of seconds. It takes a lot of time and effort to put these things together for you. And I'd really appreciate it if you would just do that in return. It would be much, much appreciated. Let's get straight into this week's show, and we kick things off with Gav Daisel. About a month, 2 months ago here on Cycle Talk SA, we caught up with Gavin Daisel from the Breakfast Express team on 94.7 Highveld Stereo, and he was doing something called Mission Vinpossible, and it was him training and getting trained to get ready for the Momentum 94.7 Cycle Challenge. He decided he wanted to lose a bit of weight, get fit, and ride the race, and yeah, we chatted to him and we're keeping an eager eye, and this Sunday he finished his first 94.7 Cycle Challenge. Gav Daisel, welcome back onto the show. Good to catch up, bud.
Lekker, dude. All good.
Gav, I am super, super stoked, mate. You've put in some serious hard graft, and you had a pretty good day on Sunday. Tell me about your experience.
Yeah, it was, I mean, like you say, it was a lot of work in the beginning, the months leading up to it. But yeah, I had a jol on Sunday. It was a lot of fun. I'm not going to lie, the worst part of the race for me was definitely Heartbreak Hill. Everybody says it's a bit of a nightmare, but nobody ever really, like, lets you know how bad Heartbreak Hill is. I mean, it's not called Heartbreak Hill for no, you know, reason other than you literally look at those hills and your heart just breaks thinking, oh, man, how am I going to get over this thing? So, yeah, but otherwise, had a good ride. I really enjoyed it.
Awesome, Gav. Yeah, I mean, Heartbreak Hill, if you had to go and hop on your bicycle now and go ride that thing, it is no hassle. But it's because of where it is in the race. I mean, you're looking at like 85 Ks in, almost 90 Ks in, and you've got to climb up this thing. So, yeah, well done, dude. And time-wise, I mean, were you happy with what you did? What did you end up doing it in?
Yeah, no, my original goal was just to like at least finish the race, and I was hoping to come in before 5 hours, like 4.5, and I ended up on 4 hours, 4 minutes. Huh?
You bastard, you beat me.
yes, but you have had no training.
No, true. That is true as well. But you know, that's awesome, Gav. Can I be straight up with you? That your time was better than the first one I ever did. So that's brilliant, dude. That's fantastic. You must be chuffed.
Awesome. I'm super stoked about my time. I mean, I've had some guys that have been pushing me with my training, and of course on the race as well. I had two buddies that I actually work with, Grant Vick and Neil Schofield. They've been helping me, pushing me on our rides and stuff like that, especially Grant. I mean, on those uphills, all he was doing was like motivating me the whole way through and just going, dude, push, you can do this, you can do this. So yeah, it was a lot of fun and a lot of hard graft, but yeah, it was all good, man.
Like talking of hard graft, level with me here, Gav. When I used to work for 94.7, I made the decision that I wanted to ride it because it's easier to ride it than to work the event. And as an employee of the radio station, you've now done both. What's easier, working it or riding it?
Oh, riding it for sure. For sure. No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And then, Gav, one of the big things you wanted to do out of this whole thing was just sort of change your body a bit, lose a bit of weight. Tell me how that's gone. I know you were doing some gymming and that as well. Weight-wise, what did you start on? What are you on now?
I originally started, just before I started the Mission Impossible thing, I was at 122 Ks. And then just with a little bit of healthier eating and dropping the amount that I was eating, I came down to about 119. And then when I officially started the challenge, I was 118.8. And I'm now officially down to 107 kgs.
Dude, that's amazing. So it's 15 Ks done in how long?
It's about 3.5-4 months, huh?
Oh, that is flippin' fantastic, Gav. I mean, if someone's listening to this and they want to sort of lose a bit of weight, maybe get some fit, give them some tips. Like, what did you do, like real serious action plan stuff that got you lose 15 Ks in the last 3 months?
Well, the biggest thing that has helped me is that I actually went and I saw a dietitian, and they actually put me on a proper eating plan in the senses that making sure that I'm not eating rubbish, you know, because I mean, in my job in specific, I mean, I work late hours, early mornings, all that kind of stuff. So I tend to, you know, stop at the garage, buy a packet of Biltong, you know, because you think, it's just protein, it's just Biltong, it's fine. But you're eating it at the wrong times, you're eating the wrong thing at the wrong times, you're eating the wrong quantities. So it was just somebody to, you know, give me that bit of advice to say, listen, have your breakfast at this time. When you wake up in the morning, have your breakfast. Cool. Then a couple of hours later, you've got to have your snack. So have your banana or your apple or something like that. Then make sure you have your lunch. Don't have too much carbs. Obviously, if you're trying to lose the weight, cut your carbs down quite substantially. And then obviously don't eat carbs after 5 p.m. was my rule from my dietitian. So that, you know, obviously I don't store it later on in the evening. And then, of course, just a hell of a lot of exercise.
Yeah, and I think that's the key, Gav, is balance. I mean, you didn't cut sort of all the cool things out of your diet that you really love. You managed to still do and eat the stuff that you liked, but it was just moderating amounts and balance,
exactly.
I think is probably what
exactly.
what the word is.
I mean, a lot of people found it strange because we've got this place just around the road from here called the Panini Brothers, and they make these awesome, like, rye bread paninis with, like, lamb on, and it's just absolutely amazing. Or you can have the fillet one as well. And I actually spoke to my dietitian about it because all the guys at work were like, oh, you're never going to lose weight on this diet that you are on if you keep having, because for lunch I'd go and get myself a panini with some fillet steak on there. And the guys are like, oh, you're not going to lose weight because you're checking the amount of carbs you're eating. But because I was watching the amount of carbs I was actually eating, it's not actually that bad. So you can still have the really nice, tasty stuff and still lose weight. You just got to, like you said, it's the quantity and when you're eating it. That's the big thing.
Yeah, without a doubt. And it's funny, one of our colleagues, when I was working there, Mark Pilgrim, he said to me, you need to be a good Boy Scout and pack a lunch. And that's planning. That's all it is looking at your day. What am I going to be doing? And then just working out accordingly with regards to meal plans. And you cancel eat out. I mean, you're talking about buying paninis. If that's what you need to do, just be sensible about it. Go and get yourself something healthy. Don't go to the local fast food joint and get something rubbish.
Exactly. It's the same as going out for dinner. I mean, you can go out for dinner and you can have yourself a steak and a baked potato. You know, you don't have to eat. Don't get yourself the 500-gram steak. Get yourself the 200-gram steak, you know, and also have a baked potato. And depending on the size of the baked potato, because I know some restaurants, they give you like a huge mother of a fist of a baked potato. So rather have half of it and take the rest home. And if you don't feel like eating all the meat, eat half and take the rest home as well.
Yeah, it's all about decisions and choices. Gav, the big question though, just to wrap up, you've now ridden the Momentum 94.7 Cycle Challenge. You must be fairly fit. You worked hard the last few months. Are you going to pack it in or are you going to keep on riding?
No, I'm definitely going to keep on riding. I was actually speaking to my personal trainer the other day, and he actually said to me, well done on your achievement. You know, he never expected me to do this. And I was like, well, I never expected to actually enjoy it, to be honest. I've always been the kind of guy looking at cyclists riding on the road going, geez, dude, seriously, if you want some petrol money, I'll give you money for petrol. Don't worry about it. But now after riding the bike and like training, it's become like a social thing now. On weekends, go out to the buddies, we go for a ride around the cradle or wherever, and then we have breakfast afterwards and then, you know, carry on the rest of the weekend. It's just something that's really fun and awesome.
Brilliant. Gav, I'm so chuffed. Well done once again from my side, dude. I think what you've done is amazing, and keep it up.
Awesome. Thanks, bro.
As mentioned at the beginning of the show, Stuart Pickering from cyclingdirect.co.za caught up with Ashley Moorman-Passio just over a week ago. Very interesting chat, and this is what transpired.
Well, we're down here in Stellenbosch for the second nighttime criterium, and I am joined by Ashley Moorman-Passio. Good evening.
That's nice to be here. Nice to meet you.
And you as well. What's it like to be back in South Africa?
Yeah, it's always nice to come home, especially, you know, seeing family and friends that we haven't seen for a while, being over in Europe. But yeah, also miss our little home in Europe. You know, the more time we spend there, the more we enjoy it. But yeah, it's really good to be home and, yeah, doing some races locally as well.
Yeah, your first race back, OFM, and you won. But you didn't have it all your own way, if I'm not so wrong, with Annelie Kachelhofer in the sprint.
Well, OFM is always an interesting course. It's not the toughest course we have in South Africa, so it's always a bit of a challenge to break things up. But often the wind is good, and that helps to make the racing tough. This time round, the wind wasn't really a huge factor, so we had to try and make use of the course. And unfortunately, they took out one of the important climbs, Lucas Steyn. Mm. So yeah, Annelie and I both actually tried to get away a few times. So the sprint is always a little bit of a risk, so it's good to eliminate the risk. But yeah, it came down to a sprint in the end, and yeah, happy to take it. But great to be racing on home soil, and especially since I grew up in Bloem, it's nice to be there.
Yeah. Interesting though, your sprinting seems to have come on this year. Is it something you've been deliberately working on, or is...
I suppose it's just a little bit of a hidden talent, maybe, that I never really realised I was good at it. But I am a bit of an all-rounder, you know. I'm not just a climber. So the challenge, though, for me is in the sprints, especially in Europe, is that I'm smaller, so taking on the big sprinters in big bunch sprints is maybe a bit intimidating, especially because I haven't really had a team to lead me out as of yet. So I like to contest smaller bunch sprints, you know, maybe from a group of 20 or 15 sort of breakaway sprints. And yeah, I've got some good speed, and especially having a training partner like my husband Carl, I'm always, you know, improving, because he challenges me, of course, being a man. So.
And if we look back at this year, first South African lady on a World Cup podium, your first win in Valkenburg.
Yeah, it was
eighth in the GC at the Giro Rosa, which is an incredible thing to do, and most influential women in sport in South Africa.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a good year. Of course, the Flèche Wallonne was a real highlight and a nice start to my European season. It's always been a race that I've really loved and realized suits me well. So it's been in my radar for a while now. And yeah, this year everything just went perfectly. Last year, finishing fifth, I started to realize that, you know, it is a race I can win. So that's still an objective for me. But yeah, it was really great. The race just went perfectly, hit the mirror, and it was quite a moment, to be honest. It was a bit overwhelming, because suddenly you realize, well, here I am, you know, I've got to try and finish this off with all the crowds shouting, and, you know, Marianne Vos, and yeah, I was maybe a bit nervous. I probably should have gone a bit earlier and used my climbing power, but unfortunately I didn't quite have the nerve, and so I took Marianne to the line, and yeah, she's just got an incredible kick. So she kicked, and it was very close between Elisa and I for second and third photo finish.
Wasn't Lizzie Armitstead in third?
No, Elisa Longo-Borghini was second, and I was third. But it was a photo finish, so they had to refer to the camera footage before they could really, you know, give the final result. And yeah, just being on a World Cup podium was a really special moment. You know, as you said, it's the first African to be on a World Cup podium. So yeah, it's just standing there as a sort of a very proud South African, and just hoping that a result like that obviously inspires the future talent to find their passion and to strive to achieve their goals. So yeah, it was wonderful.
It was wonderful. Now, we have to talk about the World Championships. I watched that race with I was glued to the television all afternoon.
Yeah.
And suddenly you were gone. Now,
yeah, the World Champs is a little bit hard to talk about from my side, because it was a very frustrating day for me. You know, having had a very good start to the season, I also had a fair few challenges with quite a few crashes this year, and just seem to be crashes that just caught me, you know, by surprise. It's not something that I ever could have avoided. And then having the crash at the Route de France in August was not that great timing with regards to the World Champs. So, but I tried to stay positive and not to let it affect me, and luckily the recovery went quite well. And yeah, you know, had everything there. You know, the numbers were looking good. I was feeling very confident. And then traveling over to Italy, left the travels a bit later, so I thought being at home would be the most comfortable environment to be in. And then I must have picked something up on the airplane, or as I arrived in Italy. And the day before, sitting on my bed in the afternoon and thinking, I don't feel so great. But there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. I'm going to be fine, because I obviously believe that if you admit to be feeling, you know, sick, then that's already the race gone. So tried to convince myself nothing was wrong. Woke up on the morning, once again trying to be as positive as I could. And starting the race, I still felt okay, because I managed to eat a good breakfast and I managed to drink some good energy juice before the race. And then as the race progressed, it just felt like everything that I was taking in wasn't going anywhere. It was staying in my stomach, so it wasn't being absorbed into the muscles,
which needed it.
And as the race went on, I just started to feel progressively, you know, worse, and muscles started to cramp, and then unfortunately started to actually bring up the liquids that I'd been taking in. So that was race over for me. But obviously I tried my best under the circumstances, and disappointed it was a good route for me, but I've got to be positive. Next year's another tough route and another shot. Yeah, so we'll give it a go.
It was a big shame, but I saw you at the end, and I saw the pictures of you, and I could see that you've given everything you possibly could do. Now next year, Team High Tech from Norway.
I'm really excited. I've had a great 4 years with Lotto Belisol, and obviously the involvement from South Africa, from Roy Gershow, and local endorsements and sponsors. It really opened up great doors for me, and gave me the opportunity to find my feet in Europe and to establish what I'm capable of. So I'll always be grateful for those opportunities. And I'm feeling that it's time for a bit of a change, and I'm looking forward to joining High Tech. You know, they've really had a great year, some strong riders, fourth ranked team in the world, so that's really wonderful. And also, you know, just to know Elisa Longo-Borghini, I mean, she requested my joining the team, which is also a nice thing to know that your abilities have been recognised, and that one of the best riders in the world wants to ride on the team with you. So I'm really looking forward to that. I think it's going to be a good year. There's going to be some new challenges.
Sure.
Not being the top rider in the team, but maybe another option is going to be also, I think, good for me. Sometimes it's good to go, you know, to take a little bit step back, to go forward again, and to have a rider that is, you know, better ranked and potentially that much better. She's won the World Cup, so yeah, I'd like to learn from Louisa and from all the other girls, and yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I think it's going to be an excellent year for you.
Yeah.
Now, over the next few months, South Africa, what have you got on the table for us to watch?
Well, I will be at 94.7 up in Joburg this
coming
weekend.
Won't we all?
Yeah, it's obviously a very important event for my sponsors. You know, Momentum sponsors the 94.7, and they obviously were a big sponsor of our team this year locally and also abroad. So it's wonderful to race back home, giving some coverage to a brand that has invested a lot. So I'm looking forward to that. It's always a good race. It's always nice to race at home as well, to interact with fans and with the young juniors in South Africa as well. You know, love to share my stories with them and give them any inspiration that I can. So yeah, that should be a fun event. And then after that, 2 weeks later, I'll be off to Egypt.
It's the Africa Champs.
African Continental Champs. Yeah, it's a challenge. I mean, obviously I've had a very long year and season, and Europe is my focus and my priority. So I took a little break after the World Champs and sorted the health out, and I'm feeling strong again. And I'm looking forward to the last few races.
Wonderful. Well, I wish you luck for 2014. I'm sure High Tech's going to be a great team to be with. And just thank you very much for spending some time with me.
Thank you for your time. Nice meeting you.
A Another week of Cycle Talk SA done and dusted. Looking forward to catching up with you next week. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. As always, please do be in touch. You can tweet us at Cycle Talk SA. You can also pop me an email, podcast@cycletalksa.co.za, or just like us on Facebook. Head over to facebook.com/CycleTalkSA. Looking forward to being in touch and hearing from you. If there's guests you think we should interview or topics we should be chatting about here on the show, please do get in touch. That email once again, podcast@CycleTalkSA.co.za. From myself, Brad Brown, as always, rubber side down, and we'll chat next week. Cheers.